Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this June 22nd, Friday 2012. We are on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, Tucson's intelligent voice. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a good weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and we have 24/7 anytime, anywhere listening of the program on three websites, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Jim DeGroot, Transportation Services Director for the Regional Transportation Authority, known as the RTA. Joining me to question Mr. DeGroot is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment, you can join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Sarah and Jim, good to see both of you.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Jim, overview. We're 6 years into the RTA 20-year program. What are some of the highlights that you see?
Well, at this point, we've now completed, I believe, our 471st individual project or service. We're migrating out of the program where we've been, you know, doing spot improvements and starting to focus our energies more on the roadway element projects. Those are the 35 road projects that are the most substantial part of the plan in terms of the costs. It's taken us a few years to get those through the design process, and now we're hitting our stride and starting to begin delivering those. Got a number of projects that are starting up. I think we had a bid opening yesterday that was very favorable to us on the La Cholla Boulevard project. That's from McGee to Overton. That's a new four-lane bridge facility over the Cañada del Oro on the northwest side. So we won't have to listen to the stupid motorist violations up there so much in the future. And we also have the Keno Boulevard at 22nd Street project that broke ground yesterday. So it's yesterday was a good day for us.
And without the RTA, how many jobs would we not have created?
Well, based upon some work that was done by the U of A Eller College, we're projecting that about 2,000 jobs have been while I'd like to say they were created, actually they were saved. They were saved in this community as the economy wound down and we were losing construction jobs. I think those are jobs saved.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson.
I wanted to ask about some things that have been in the news recently, specifically the idea that businesses along the corridors where there's construction for the streetcar Sunlink are having a really rough time in a really terrible part of the year anyway. And I think a nightclub, Sharks, is the name of it, that says that it's closing in direct response to the construction. Customers can't get there, et cetera. How does the RTA address those sort of concerns from local business people who should be the recipients of the good things that come eventually but can't make it through the hard times?
Well, you know, in terms of our business assistance program, that was something that was unique to the RTA. We really hadn't in this region had a business assistance program prior to the RTA. And it's one of our smallest elements, but it's one that I think really will pay the most dividends in our community over time. What we don't do is we don't mitigate rents for people. We don't provide them any direct financial benefit. But what we do is we go out into the community and we try to make sure that the business's needs are addressed with the contractor as the project is going forward. I mean, these projects are disruptive. There's no way around it. And anything we can do with the businesses to help them get through that, we'd like to try to do. The kinds of things that we will do in advance of the project. I mean, we've had people out on the streets, 4th Avenue, Congress Street. We've had people walking those streets for 4 years now. going out, trying to get the businesses aware of what's coming, try to help them understand what to expect, plan for it, help them identify strategies that they can employ to get through the project. It's totally voluntary on the part of the businesses. And we try to provide them a suite of services, but if they decline to use them, you know, there's nothing that we can do to force them to use it, certainly. It's option. It's available. We think it's beneficial, and we hope as many of the businesses use it as can, because the businesses that have used it have reported back to us very favorable comments on things.
I wanted to ask if you could explain a bit more about what the Business Assistance Program actually does.
Okay.
In the story in the Star, the gentleman from Sharks was saying that it's, you know, tips like some marketing or joint associations, things like that, that aren't going to get people in the door if they drive down the street and see, oh, it's full of construction, mm-hmm. things like that. So I'm curious about what actually concrete things the program includes, and mm-hmm. then why not offer some sort of rent assistance or something substantial to get people through this hard time?
Yeah. In terms of our program, we basically have a number of things that we focus on. The first is that we focus on trying to get the business good quality information on the front end so that they know when the project's coming, they have an opportunity to interact with the project design team. In many cases, particularly the smaller businesses, you know, those business owners are focused on their businesses on a day-to-day basis. They don't have time to go to a bunch of meetings to find out about a project. And, you know, they're trying to keep the doors open and manage their businesses. We recognize that. So what we try to do is we try to have people out walking the streets, going into the businesses, talking to them, identifying what their needs are, and making sure they understand what information is being shared with others in the community, and what information is available. We recognize that that changes over time because projects are fluid, so we try to keep them informed on an ongoing basis. So this is a repeating process. We're out there on a regular basis, knocking on doors, walking in and talking to the business owners. So that's on the front end. We believe that when businesses are in an area where there's a road project, collectively there are opportunities for them to stick together and market together, and you know, whether it's working with the Fourth Avenue's Merchants Association or the Downtown Alliance, you know, these are things that we try to work with those groups on to try to promote their areas. I know that the city has also been very active in trying to get information out for the Fourth Avenue businesses and the downtown businesses. They're running materials on Channel 12. They're trying to promote the area. And our message to people is, please shop the zone. You can get down there. There is parking. It's ample. And, you know, we'll have to walk around some barricades, but those businesses are open, and we really encourage people to try to take advantage of them and shop there. Third leg of the stool is analysis of the business. We offer services where we'll go into businesses and help them identify their strengths and weaknesses. We've developed some tools that that we help. You know, we'll basically sit down, do a two-hour interview with a business owner, help them identify their strengths and weaknesses, everything from inventory control issues to, you know, their marketing plans, and then once we've evaluated that business and collaboratively with the business owner, we'll identify a strategy where we can provide them specific services. So we can provide them up to, you know, depending upon how impacted the business is, 40 to 80 hours of professional business assistance services, helping them do marketing plans or launch websites, things like that, things that can help them not only survive the construction period, but also, hopefully use that beyond the construction and make their businesses better. And then the fourth element of the plan or our program is to work with the businesses on an ongoing basis during the construction period. Provide that information to the business. You know, we, you know, tell the business when they're going to be out there in front, or when the contractor is going to be working in the area, how long the water will be shut off. If the water's shut off unexpectedly, you know, go out to the businesses, knock on the doors, tell them, you know, what's going on, when the water might be back on again. These are all things that are real day-to-day problems that, you know, need to happen with the businesses. Now, we're partnering with the city of Tucson on the streetcar project, but on other projects around the region, it's, you know, pretty much wholly handled by the RTA Main Street program in that aspect.
But about giving money to the businesses, that was never thought about?
That isn't a part of our plan. No.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah. It's not been done in the past. It's not something that that we felt we could go into. Part of the, you know, I hate to be cold about it, but it's part of the reality about being along a road project. The government has to go in and has to do road improvements from time to time, and we're not in a position to abate that.
Jim DeGroot is with us. Jim is with the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA. We'll talk about the Broadway Boulevard project. That'll be coming up as we continue with Friday Focus here on the Buckmaster Show as we're now coming up on 12:16. Stay with us. We'll have more with Jim DeGroot of the RTA right after this.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 12:19, it's Friday Focus on our program. We bring in a newsmaker every Friday and talk about the issues involved with our community. And today we're talking about the RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority. Jim DeGroot is with us from the RTA. Jim, what is the and Sarah Garrett Gasson, of course, from the Arizona Daily Star, is with me in studio. Jim, the latest on SunLink, the schedule, are you on schedule?
We are on schedule, on track.
And
pardon the pun.
What does that mean?
What that means is that right now the construction team is completing the work on 4th Avenue to the north of 6th Street. If you drive back down there right now, you'll see two ribbons of concrete with rails in it, and they'll be ready to start moving forward with the paving soon. I don't have the date with me, but certainly that's material that we should be able to put out on our website if people are interested. And then be moving to the other side of 4th Avenue, or the other side, 4th Avenue, the other side of 6th Street. I know that there are crews out on 2nd over in the U of A campus. They're trying to focus on 2nd Street to get 2nd Street done before the students come back for school.
Sarah Garrett Gasson, now the Star.
I wanted to ask, just from someone who's been involved with road construction for a long time as your career, I know just as someone who drives around, you know, you kind of curse under your breath, construction, but then things,
I do too.
Do you? But then, you know, everything's fine and it's wonderful and you have a lovely new overpass or whatever, mm-hmm. and you just sort of tend to forget. So just, I know you get a lot of, I'm assuming, I shouldn't say that I know that, I'm assuming that people complain, I don't know if they make actual complaints to you guys about the construction, but do you ever get compliments about, wow, that was one heck of a great underpass or whatever?
You know, I wish we got more of them, but we do get them. And I think we get them from the public who are using them on occasion. I think people, as you said, you know, once it's open, you sigh a great, you know, breath of relief, and then you enjoy the project and maybe not think about it beyond that. But we are getting some national recognition for some of the projects that have been completed. I know that that Roads and Bridges magazine and Trade magazine for those of us in the engineering community, they identified the I-19 frontage road project as one of the top 10 projects in 2010. American Public Works Association has identified a number of the projects as being award winners. The Twin Peaks Interchange, that's one, if there's one project that I can point to that the public has come out very strongly thankful for, it's that project, and I think it's because it's an entirely new road. It's one that that new interchange didn't exist before. You know, if you were traveling a road and it was improved, you're going to see it differently after than you would if it's a brand new roadway and a brand new route that you can take advantage of. And we've certainly heard from the people in the Northwest, Marana and Oro Valley, and about the benefits of the Twin Peaks Interchange and Twin Peaks Road Project.
1222 on the Buckmaster Show. If you have a question or comment about the RTA for Jim DeGroote, our live line number 790-2040, 790-2040. There's been some controversy, Jim, as you know, about the Broadway Boulevard widening project. What's the latest on that?
Well, the latest is that the Citizens Task Force for Broadway has begun meeting, and we're getting underway with the planning process and the community input. There was a meeting that was held, I believe, on Wednesday evening that kicked that project off. I know that that's probably our most controversial project at the moment. It's one that there are some that question the need for the project. There are some that are vociferously in favor of it. We have people
questioning whether it needs to be that wide.
Correct. Yeah, yes. And it's going to be disruptive. I mean, you've got a roadway that has development along it, and the city of Tucson looked at this back in the mid-80s. They identified this as a project that they wanted to widen. They wanted to make it one that could support high-capacity transit in the future. And that's how they laid it out. They adopted right-of-way maps, said that they'd, you know, go on the north side of the roadway with their expansion plans.
So this is something the city of Tucson wanted.
Yeah, yeah. City of Tucson requested that it be put into the RTA plan. And it's, you know, city-owned project. It's a city-led project. The city's leading the planning efforts on it. And We're going to be watching it real interesting. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to us to see how this all unfolds. We know that there are a lot of people that that would like to see it it modified. We're trying to decide internally, or the board will have to decide how open it is to any changes, and that'll be based on citizen input. The Citizen Task Force will certainly have a major role in that. The Citizens Accountability for Regional Transportation, or our CART committee, they'll have a role in it, as will our Technical Management Committee. And all of these committees will be providing their recommendations to both the City Council and to the RTA Board.
Here's Sarah.
I wanted to ask something along those lines. The RTA was approved more than 6 years ago by voters.
Correct.
And the world looks totally different now. In terms of the economy, jobs, things like that. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, there's been lack of street repair, potholes are everywhere, all that sort of stuff. So people say, well, you know, maybe that was the priority then, but should it be the priority now? Is the RTA bound by what voters did then, or can it be changed through, and what would the process be?
Well, I think that I need to subdivide into two questions.
Okay.
Okay. The first is, you know, can we change the plan? You know, right now Broadway's on the plan. We have 35 road projects. We've got intersection. We've got a suite of other projects, transit projects, and safety and environment and economic vitality projects. Some of which, when we went to the vote, we left them open for programming. There are blocks of money that we would determine the needs over time on. Others, the road projects, were specifically identified with specific costs or funding allocations associated with them. We can't deviate from that. The board or the plan, we can't add new elements. We can't add in, say, pavement maintenance. That would require going back to the voters. We're constrained. But that said, what these road projects consist of in the ballot language, we identified what the rough scopes of each of these projects would be. And in the case of Broadway Boulevard, it called for expanding the existing roadway to have a raised median, to have 6 lanes for traffic, 2 dedicated bus lanes, and bicycle lanes and sidewalks. That was what went to the voters. And I think there's some questioning as to whether or not that's a needed improvement. Do we need to make it that wide? Basically, if you were to drive under the railroad tracks as you're entering downtown, that's the pavement section, you know, as you go from Euclid to Tool. And that's consistent with what the city's plan from the late 80s was. It is the board's obligation it's a fiduciary responsibility to manage the projects in the context of the current realities. So I think they do have some latitude there, but they've also taken a pledge, and that's to not reduce functionality. And they took that pledge before the vote, and what functionality is, I think that's something that we need to talk about. And does that mean that if we can show that the level of service under a different roadway configuration is provided for under an alternative scheme, then perhaps we have some latitude to move forward.
So there's some room for some modification on projects that have been approved by the voters, but to add like pavement, rehabilitating pavement, which is not in the RTA plan that voters approved, that is just not on the table. You'd have to go back to the voters.
That's correct. Now that said, one of the things that the city has requested that we look at is other ways that the RTA can help. And there are other ways. And not just the RTA, PAG, Pima Association of Governments, who manages the RTA, receives funds from other sources as well. And some of those sources have been pledged to to RTA projects. We go through a 5-year planning process. Well, 5 years ago, we thought projects were going to come in much more expensively than they are today. And we programmed that money, and that money is still available to us. So there is an opportunity for us to look at using these other more flexible funds to try to help out. And that's something we're committed to doing, and we're going to be going through that process over the coming the summer, basically.
Jim DeGroote of the RTA, thank you very much for being with us. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, coming up now on 30 Minutes Past the Hour, we have our Reporters Roundtable coming up next. Mark Evans and Sarah Garrett-Gasson will join you to talk about top stories of the week. As usual, no shortage. We'll be back. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama has told Hispanic leaders in Florida today that as long as he's president, he will not give up the fight for immigration reform. Yesterday, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney talked about immigration reform as he addressed that same conference. A Moroccan accused in an alleged bomb plot against the U.S. Capitol has pleaded guilty. He was arrested in a parking lot wearing what he thought was an explosives-laden suicide vest. Three climbers rescued from Washington's Mount Rainier in an operation that cost the life of a park ranger are now hospitalized in fair condition. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 70 points, 12,643, the NASDAQ trading 28 points higher, and the S&P better by 9. More details at srnnews.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It's 12:34. This is the Friday Reporters Roundtable. We are on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Joining me on the roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star, Mark B. Evans. And as you list yourself on Facebook,
that's right,
with that middle initial B as in boy.
What does that stand for?
Brian, but there was when I first got started, there was another journalist in Arizona named Mark Evans, so I threw the B in there so people didn't think I was him.
Very cool. He is the administrator for the TucsonCitizen.com. If you have a comment or a question, we'd love to hear from you. 790-2040, the Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. It's true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Let's begin, Mark and Sarah, with Ron Barber. He is officially now Congressman Ron Barber. He was sworn in at the Capitol this week, and immediately he made his first vote, and it had to do with the border.
It did, and it was something that he's making waves right away, I think it's safe to say, with his first vote. First of all, I just want to say I can't imagine what a just sort of reality shift it must be for Ron Barber and his family to be the congressman rather than the aide. It just has to be, I mean, what a journey that whole family and the community has been on. But he made some waves with his first vote, which, as I understand it, will allow the environmental regulations up to, I think, 100 miles north of the border to be kind of ignored to one degree or another, which will allow
more than a dozen environmental laws,
right,
on the federally managed lands within 100 miles of the Mexico border and the northern, our friends to the north and the Canadian border.
Yes, the smiley Canadian people. But the problem is some see it, is that this allows Border Patrol and other Homeland Security efforts to use that area to drive through to have a human presence there, which for a border security standpoint they say is necessary, but environmentalists and others are saying that it just sort of gives carte blanche to organizations that don't have conservation and the environment at the top of their list of priorities.
It was a damned if he do and damned if he doesn't vote. If he doesn't vote for it, then he's going to get beat up with it in the coming election, where he could face another very close one. And if he did vote for it, then he disappoints all the Democrats who just voted for him. the same day that he got sworn in. So he couldn't win with that one, no matter how he voted on it. So, but in terms of that 100-mile border, it's the rule that's been suspended. If this gets passed, which I don't think it has a chance getting out of the Senate, but if it were to go into effect, it does two things. It allows the Border Patrol to drive all over, the Cabeza National Wildlife Refuge and some of those places like that, and then it also allows them to build the fence through some of these more environmentally sensitive areas, which is one of the things that's been hanging up the fence, is that trying to get through all the environmental impact statements and all the studies that have to be done, it takes years and years and years and years, and then this would allow them not to do that. So that's why a lot of people were opposed to it, and it's also why a lot of people are for it.
Mark Evans is with us, and Sarah Garrett Gasson here, as we're talking now on the Reporters Roundtable on the story that will garner a lot of publicity, and I'm sure national and perhaps even international publicity, will be an event that will be taking place tomorrow. Ron Barber will be hosting his first Congress on the Corner event at a Tucson Safeway, but not the same store where he was nearly killed during a similar event, of course, January 8th, 2011. I don't know what to make of this.
I think it's great. Good for him. I mean, he's showing that he's going to represent the district and that he's not afraid and that this action by Jared Loeffner is not going to change the way that he learned from, you know, Gabby Giffords how to go out and connect with the people. And, you know, this is the Safeway symbolic. I mean, I would have thought, hey, go do it where it happened. But maybe that was probably a little too sensitive for all those people that were wounded and killed there. So still doing it another Safeway, I think, is a great idea. Good for him.
And if folks want to go, it is the southeast corner of East Grant and North Craycroft Roads for Congress on Your Corner at that Safeway, running from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
And I agree with Mark. I say that district was well represented in this way by Gabby Giffords. She had regular congresses on Your Corner at Safeways. I know in Green Valley she would go to the Safeway. And it's something that I think shows that, as Mark said, Ron is not going to just sit around and campaign. He's out there. He wants to talk to people, wants to hear from the constituents. And I say if you have this sort of symbolism, the best thing to do is to just confront it and to acknowledge that it might feel a little odd symbolically, and then just go about your daily life, because that's the way you let people who are trying to cause disruption and change that so fundamentally, that's the way that you defeat them. And so I applaud him for doing this.
The Reporters Roundtable, this portion of our Reporters Roundtable brought to you by Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. Adobe House Antiques, located in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. And Mark and Sarah, that's just north of
Plaza Liquors.
Plaza Liquors. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Martha McSally will be on the Buckmaster Show. I believe we've scheduled her for Tuesday of next week. Yes, Rose, that's right. And, of course, the McSally campaign, Mark Evans, center of some controversy. The campaign spokesman for Martha McSally is out after an accusation that he offered campaign advice to a staffer for Democrat Ron Barber.
Yeah. I mean, he's Sam Stone, I think, he's denying that he did it, that he went up to a campaign worker for Ron Barber and said, hey, if you want to know how to defeat Jesse Kelly, here's how to do it.
But who wrote the information?
And wrote some notes on the back of a visible business card. No, he says that's not his handwriting. Nevertheless, Martha McSally either didn't believe him or just didn't want the distraction as she's getting her campaign against Barber started, and so he's out. And, you know, if you're a Republican and you're running a Republican campaign, if you think you can go over to a Democratic campaign worker and give them insider tips and then they're not going to use that against you, maybe it's best that you're no longer running a campaign.
And I wonder what the damage, if there is some damage to this from very conservative wing of the Republican Party. There had been rumors that the McSally people were urging folks to vote for Ron Barber.
Right. And I think that Jesse Kelly obviously represented the more very conservative base
wing,
of
yeah.
of the Republican Party, and that Martha McSally, we don't know that much about her, what her beliefs are. She comes across as very engaging. She's funny. And she also doesn't seem to be one who is all that concerned about how other people think she's supposed to act. I think that's kind of refreshing in a political race. But it's the kind of thing also that by the idea that it would be made up, that this business card thing, it just seems like an odd thing. Like, if I'm going to try to mess up a campaign, by gum, I'm going to write some advice on a business card. It just doesn't seem like the kind of thing someone would dream up as a way to derail another candidate. So,
yeah. Moving right along, the paperwork error. This could keep the 1 cent increase in state sales tax for education off the ballot. And this could be a very big deal, Mark Evans.
Yeah. Ken Bennett's spokesperson has said that the Secretary of State is going to bar them at the door, not let them turn in their petitions. Because apparently what they did is they turned in the language of the petition that gets filed with the Secretary of State's office that had language that they later amended and turned that in on a computer disk. But what got published by the Secretary of State was the incorrect language. Then they used the correct language on their petitions and passed the petitions. And under state law, if anyone signing a petition has to know what they're signing so that the materials that are on file with the Secretary of State and that are attached to each petition has to be exact. Now, whether the Secretary of State will be successful in doing this is I'm uncertain about, because there seems to be, no matter which judge you go to, they have a different opinion about voter intent. For instance, in Tucson, when some 16,000 signatures were turned in to oppose the West University project that had some bad language on it that was incorrect with the language that should have been, the judge threw it out and said, sorry, Charlie, the law says you have to be correct. Whereas just this past week up in Phoenix, you had someone whose name escapes me was turned in petitions to run for the state legislature, and some of the signatures said Pinal County on them instead of Maricopa County. And if those signatures had been invalid, that person would not have enough signatures to get onto the primary ballot. And the judge said voter intent was clear because the candidate's name and face was there on the petition. Nevertheless, the language was wrong. So under that hardline ruling, he should have said, sorry, those petitions have to be thrown out. So who knows? I mean, I have a feeling that this is going to will end up in court, and we're going to have to get a ruling soon enough so that the ballots can be printed before November.
And they
my
are
gut feeling is, I think this is going to end up on the ballot. You've got almost 300,000 signatures, something like that.
And I spoke with Ann Eve Peterson just before I came over. She's one of the main organizers of the effort for the initiative, and she was saying that the copy on the disk, the electronic copy, which was not just uploaded and used, instead they hand scanned the previous version of the language that was turned in to the office, and that's the one with the stamp on it, that the electronic version is the exact same language as on the petitions that people were presented with and that they decided to sign or not sign, and that they believe meets the criteria of the law, which does not, from my understanding, say it needs to be in a paper copy, it needs to be an electronic copy. It leaves that sort of open. So my main concern is that if Ken Bennett, Secretary of State, is going to take an action like not accept the signatures or make a decision and throw them out, he needs to do it sooner rather than later, for the very reason that Mark said, is because we do have a clock here that's ticking. And so if he's going to take action, it needs to be quick and it needs to be swift so the other side can get it to court and get a decision.
And Ann Eve is preparing for a legal fight. Her group has retained the former Arizona Supreme Court Justice Stanley Feldman. Quickly about
Stan's the man.
Quickly about Rio Nuevo, is there no shortage of bad publicity for this story? I mean, it just keeps going. For this,
they didn't pay their taxes.
Didn't pay their taxes. I mean,
yeah, they're so busy suing everyone and saying they're going to sue everyone and paying zillions of dollars in legal fees that, it just kind of escaped them that maybe they should be paying their tax bill.
And board member Mark Irvin said, yes, this is embarrassing.
Well,
and he is right.
It adds embarrassment upon embarrassment. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Rio Nuevo and whether these two new board members will have the effect that everyone hopes, because it is an 8-member board and there are only 2 votes. So, I mean, the saga continues. I mean, we should make a soap opera out of it. Was it As the World Turns, As the Rio Turns?
Yeah, that would be the world's most boring and convoluted
soap opera. Oh, my goodness. And so the story goes on and on. The Rio Nuevo audit finds questionable spending of nearly $34 million. Some say this is not a big deal. Who knows?
Yeah, I read that audit, and this whole idea of questionable spending, I think, is specious. I mean, the audit in and of itself, I think, serves as a nice historical record of what went on over the years. But in terms of it being any kind of gotcha Tucson document, it's just not. I mean, it's telling us things we already knew. It's just telling us in a very official way. For instance, Everyone knows that when the U of A got into this, and U of A was going to build the greatest bridge in the world with all these science museums and all that on it.
And a rainbow.
Right, right. And they got $7 million of Renueva funds, and then they blew it on trips to Brazil and Switzerland and studies and all kinds of stuff. And little fake bridges that they made up and models and stuff.
You had to research it in Rio.
Well, yeah, research rainbows.
Right. So what the audit found out was that there should have been an extension of the intergovernmental agreement, the IGA, between the board and the district and the district and the city and U of A, and it didn't get extended. So therefore, these millions of dollars are questionable. Well, yeah, okay, but we knew that. They were questioned to begin with. This just makes it official that they were questionable, that, you know, that there wasn't an IGA that allowed for the spending of this money through the city. And there's other examples like that as you go through the whole audit. I mean,
I'm just wondering, at what point does it just become? I mean, we're laughing about it as sort of you say Rio Nuevo and people go, which is never the
at
the
what
hallmark.
Point are, do you just pull the plug, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's never a good hallmark of a municipal project. I'm just wondering, how does this wind down? How do you just sort of either fish or cut bait on it, because it needs to come to some conclusion, because it can't just go on and on and on and on.
And the president of the Senate, who was on our program this week, says that on and on is coming to an end. This is kind of the last chance, not kind of, is the last chance as far as the legislature is concerned.
Well, let's hope that these board members get their act together and get everyone else in shape too, because this, in the big scheme of things, could be really great for Tucson. It could, and it is such a shame that it's been squandered in such a spectacularly public way. But it needs to happen, and it needs to get done soon. And I'm wishing the new board members all the luck in the world.
The thing that makes me the most pessimistic about it is that there was a piece of legislation this year that got vetoed by the governor simply out of spite. That would have taken the handcuffs off of the district and allowed it to spend money on other things, like maybe getting some of the stalled projects done, and relieve them of only spending money on the TCC or a convention center or hotel. That bill has to come back in this next session, because I think it's critical for them to move forward. And I just don't see that bill getting passed, considering all the bad blood that exists now. And the bad feelings about Rio Nuevo. So,
Mark Evans and Sarah Garrett Gasson, both of you have a great weekend. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world, with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great getaway this would make. 3.5 hours east of Tucson, mile high elevation, mild days, cool nights. So much to do, including the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. No shortage of fine places to stay. There's a great roster of places, including Manzano's RV Park. Check out more about Silver City in Grant County at southwestnewmexico.org. Time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Matt, and it is 5 o'clock somewhere, and that means cocktail hour.
Absolutely. You know, the Silver City is sounding pretty good to me, Bill. What is it, about 119 degrees today?
Yeah. It's up in Silver City. It's probably in the 80s. The night times are in the 50s. We love it up there.
Absolutely beautiful.
What's going on this weekend here in the Old Pueblo?
You know, it's a big foodie weekend, Bill, and the whole foodie weekend is going to commence tonight at 6:30 when the Mercado San Agustin hosts their first annual birthday bash. And this celebration marks, of course, the one-year anniversary of the opening of the beautiful Mercado San Agustin Market, which is located right over there on West Congress, just west of I-10 on the south side of the street. And then all of the shops and restaurants are going to be open late so your listeners can enjoy great shopping, delicious food, some ice-cold beverages, and live music. So they've got samplings of a French cuisine from Agustin Brasserie, Southern Mexico cuisine from Taqueria El Pueblito, and delicious baked goods from some bakeries there. Happy birthday, Mercado San Agustin, tonight starting at 6:30.
Something tells me they'll be toasting a few margaritas to that birthday.
I would, if I were a betting man, Bill, I'd join you on that.
Speaking of margaritas and other adult beverages, bartender night, I think it's what, is it a guest bartender night?
Yeah, you nailed it. Once your listeners wrap up at the Mercado tonight, they need to get over to the Sunrise and Kolb intersection for the first guest bartender night at one of our favorite restaurants, The Abbey. Starting at 10 o'clock tonight, internationally renowned mixologist Aaron DeFeo is going to be making a special appearance behind the bar at the Abbey with a custom cocktail, Bill, that he's created just for this event, and it's only $6. Now, they're playing their cards pretty close to the vest, so we can't get them to share exactly what Aaron is going to be crafting, but, Bill, suffice it to say, if Aaron DeFeo is behind the bar, it's going to be life-changing.
Yeah, I know you're very high on the work he does produce and the very wonderful beverages that come out of that gentleman's mind. Iron Chef Tucson.
Yeah, I mean, this is just one of the big foodie events of the entire year. The foodie weekend is going to conclude up at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort Saturday and Sunday from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. The Iron Chef Culinary Weekend. Bill, there's going to be food from some of Tucson's best restaurants, cooking seminars, beer and wine tastings, basically everything that you need to summon your inner foodie. Now, of course, there's the big grand event itself, the Iron Chef Competition, where reigning Iron Chef Ryan Clark from the Lodge on the Desert is going to be defending his title against the challenger Alan Yap from Ohm Modern Asian Kitchen. Bill, think of this weekend as a theme park for foodie veterans and novices alike. It's Iron Chef Tucson, Saturday and Sunday up at Ventana Canyon.
A lot of folks talking about the good food that they are getting over at Lodge on the Desert.
Yeah, Ryan Clark, I mean, you meet him, he looks like he just graduated from middle school, but he is really a world-class chef. Everyone at the Food Network is very familiar with him back in New York, and it's just a blessing to have Ryan Clark here in Tucson.
All right, Matt Russell, go enjoy the weekend. It's time to begin.
Yeah,
have a good one.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Support for the Buckmaster Show on Fridays comes from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more on their fine website, SplendidoTucson.com. The bottled water that we enjoy here on the Buckmaster Show is provided by our friends at Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We really like Culligan. And what is it about Culligan water? Well, folks, it's simply tastes better. This is really good bottled water. Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by our friends at Flowers Rieger Associates, certified public accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Mike Flowers and the gang offering a free 30-minute consultation to Buckmaster Show listeners. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, our producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. We will be back with you on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.